Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Ron Oberstein, a president of Life West, with my better half, the first spouse of Life West, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hi, Dr. Mary.
Hi.
For another edition of our Life by Life West, we have a phenomenal chiropractor with us today who's going to be dropping tons of pearls of wisdom on us. So we have Dr. Ian Bulow from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good to see you, Ian.
It's great to be being.
Oh, I'm so excited, man. We were together in Nashville recently, probably about 2 months ago, and I've been really waiting. We had to cancel this at one point because of a scheduling conflict, and I'm so excited to have Dr. Ian and Dr. Mary and I. We've just been anticipating. I'll give you a brief introduction. Dr. Ian graduated in 2008 from Palmer. He's been practicing for the last 13 years, like I said, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's right now president of the ICA Upper Cervical Council. He's also an instructor for the Blair Society. He teaches all over the country, Blair. He uses CBCT, cone beam computer tomography. If we get a chance, we might get into that. He just has done so much in the profession, but I think Ian, you know, he's got a phenomenal practice. And I think the biggest thing on the introduction is that he's got such a great balance in his life, and he's been married for 17 years. He's got three daughters, which warms Dr. Mary my heart because we have three daughters, and they're age 13, 14, and 15. A lot of balancing happening there, but it's so cool. It's a great introduction, Ian. You've been doing such amazing things in chiropractic, and we're going to jump into this and kind of, you know, ask you some questions. Let's bring out, you know, who is, you know, Dr. Ian, and, you know, tell us about your practice and all other stuff. So anyways, that's the direction we're going to go. And I'm going to turn it over to my partner, Dr. Mary, and we'll start moving with that.
Okay. Sounds great.
Well, before we get into the family life balance, which I'm really excited to hear you speak about, what's your message that you're passionate about getting out to the chiropractic community?
Well, I know there's so many things we could talk about. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with your group and your community. We were talking a little bit about this before we started the call. I think when I tell my students, when I teach, I know not everyone on the call are students, but when I teach Blair work and I talk to students, a lot of the times I'm trying to really hammer on them their assessments and things like reliability and validity to everything that they do in the clinical setting. Because I think when we're first going into school, and we're kind of enamored by chiropractic philosophy, right? Because it's all about life, and it's about the potential of life and how subluxations reduce that potential. And it can kill you, right? I mean, it's a foot on a garden hose kind of stuff, which is all fine, it's all great. But then I think sometimes in a clinical setting, we lose that respect and reverence for the adjustment. And that it comes in many shapes and sizes. Maybe we lose the respect and reverence by the way our clinic looks. You know, if we save lives and then you pull into someone's garage and their clinic looks like it's in their basement or their living room or what have you, it's sort of like, well, perception's everything, right? Perceived value and perception, and you have to walk your talk. So if my favorite in my world, in the upper cervical world, Michael Kill, may he rest in peace, you know, he talked about brainstem specialists, right? Or brainstem specialists. Or like we say in chiropractic, we're nervous system doctors, but yet we don't know much about analyzing MRIs. It's sort of like, well, you should know how to look at the brain.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just like the idea of walking your talk. And that comes in, like I said, brand, the environment, how you dress, how you talk, your knowledge base, and of course, your technique.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Ian, I want to share with you a couple of things. One, I want to let you know this, that back in the day, I'm going back into the 80s, you know, at Dynamic Essentials, there would literally be, you know, 150 docs lined out in a hallway, you know, at the hotel. right? At the Waverly Hotel, to come in as you got closer, and we're all talking in line, as you come in and you went into the bathroom and it was your turn, and you go ASRP, you go ASRP. And Michael Kale was in the bathroom, and the toilet was the knee chest, and you'd get down and Michael Kale would deliver an upper server. It was incredible. I mean, this happened, you know, four times a year for so many years. But I just want to touch on what you did say, because it's so important, you know. And, you know, you talk about professionalism, you know, and what is your message? I mean, whether you're upper cervical, whether you're Gonstead, whether you're network spinal analysis, it doesn't matter.
No,
what is it? And I think I want to classify you in a certain generation, but obviously, you know, you're a little bit, you know, you're younger than myself and Dr. Mary. It's all about branding, isn't it? It's all about what you do. And I love what you said. And I want you to expand upon how the walking the talk isn't just what I'm saying and what I'm doing. It's what I'm projecting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate you saying it doesn't matter about techniques. It doesn't. I think maybe somewhere in there, the word certainty comes to mind. You know what I mean? Your presence and your state will help you walk your talk. You know what I mean? When you're coming in, if you care about your patient, you're focused on your patient. It reminds me, I was working with a consultant one time. And by the way, I started with a franchise that, like, so we're big systems people and whatnot. But I was talking with a consultant who ironically was a financial chiropractor consultant. And we were talking about scripts. And he said, you know, and he wasn't a chiropractor, by the way. He said, you know, healthcare used to be this sacred thing, you know, someone's sick and dying and they've been everywhere, right? They've been everywhere. And they come to you and literally they're giving you their life in their hands. And then he stopped and he said, you're going to give them a script? Now, scripts are important for consistency, but for brand and backing up what you say, the point of the conversation was, you are caring for someone's health in their life. And sometimes we say it like caring for your mom or caring for your grandmother, how would you take care of them? It's sort of the same idea, right? Like if someone comes in, you've got to be, and speaking of greats like Sid Williams, you got your service hand and your business hand. When you're with the patient, you better be like backing up. I mean, you're dealing with their life. You know what I mean? And so I think it's brand. I think it's certainty. And then I think it's clinical. Like, again, we're big clinical people, you know? So if you're putting your hands on them and you're adjusting them, you better have a set of reliable and valid criteria to know when they need to be adjusted and if the adjustment has occurred. Otherwise, we're Homer Simpson kicking people over trash cans and getting audibles. And it's kind of like, with all due respect, I'm just saying, like, there's a difference, right? We say, oh, don't crack your own neck. It's like, why not? Like, why? You know, well, because whatever. It's like, well, know what that whatever is. In the difference between one and the other, you exist and just own it. You know what I mean? That's my main thing.
Yeah. That's so great. That's such a great message, because it was, as you were speaking, it made me think about students and young docs who come out and inside, you know, we always talk about inside out, they have this great message, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you're saying. It's like almost like it doesn't translate out. So they feel that way, like, I, you know, I'm going to be saving lives, but it doesn't sometimes translate to their brand or their clinic and all that kind of stuff.
You know what else? It makes me think, I think sometimes it goes back to the certainty thing. Mm-hmm. Like we get this big, big philosophy. I mean, nothing's bigger than life, right? And so that now, how can we almost feel like, oh, I don't know, you know? And that reminds me of two things, just real quick. Number one, Deepak Chopra, right? We're almost shy to talk about innate intelligence and vitalism and universal principles, but yet that joker's got a philosophy and he's world renowned. You know what I mean? You can have it both. You can be principled, but yet academically astute. And that's one thing I will say that helped in terms of my confidence and certainty was I went through the upper cervical diplomate program before becoming president of the council. I was one of the first students in the inaugural class, which, by the way, like West, was a big part of that formation back in the day. But the point is, when I started getting the clinical sciences like on lockdown, now I don't care who I talk to. I could talk to a neurologist. It doesn't really matter, because now I've got both the vitalism and the actual neuroscience that just backs up what we do, you know, and it just makes it a lot easier to walk that talk.
Right. And what I love is this, because I mean, and we'll stay on that word you just talked about, because I think everybody, I don't care where you are in practice or if you're just getting out of practice, even as a student, even as a student, certainty. And yeah. What I love that you said, Ian, was just is that you need your philosophy for certainty, right?
Yeah, you do. I
mean, yeah, we need it, you know, and we need our science or our research or whatever you want to call it to back up, right? Our certainty. And then the third piece of the certainty, which is our triangle in chiropractic or our stool, is your technique.
Yeah.
So when you are certain, and it doesn't mean you have to be a master of it, right? Because coming out of school, I can guarantee you right now, and tell me if this is not correct, the adjustment you're delivering right now, 13 years in practice, is different than the adjustment you delivered, you know, in 2008, obviously, right?
Sure.
But if you're certain, even in 2008, you got to be certain, because if you know, I got it. Come to me. Otherwise, don't go to me. Go to the guy down the street or the gal who's she's been in practice for 20 years, right? We don't do that, and which we shouldn't. We just have to have that certainty, and that certainty keeps growing, right?
Yeah. Way back in the day, I remember Tony Robbins talking about if two people have respect and rapport with one another, and they're in conversation or in like a debate, the one with the more certainty is probably going to be influencing the other. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about conversions and marketing and brand, if you own the principle of life and of subluxation, but which, by the way, those are the only two things that separate you from everybody else in the world, is your why and the principle, and then how good you are at doing it, how certain you are, the adjustment, correcting the subluxation, then you'll have influence. And one thing too, I wanted to, when you mentioned the stool, there's one analogy, just kind of random here a little bit, but I think it's really a beautiful thing, and to give props to the late Andy Roberts, who passed in the last 5 years, but it was a big influence on me and a lot of people. He always talked about the tree analogy. And I just think it's a beautiful thing because you first have to learn philosophy because that's your roots. Without that, you're going to be tossed by the waves and the wind easily, right? So that's what makes us unique as chiropractors. But from that, we should be studying our sciences, you know, and that's why I talked about MRIs earlier. Medicine doesn't have the lock on MRIs. You know what I mean? Like an MRI, I remember when I was in school, I said, I don't need to learn blood pressure. I'm not going to be diagnosing hypertension. What the heck? But then, you know, Dick Holtz comes off with a blood pressure study, and we realize that, of course, the vagus and everything else influences that. And so who says medical doctors are the only ones that own blood pressure? It's just another physiological indicator, right? But we have to have our roots to know how to interpret the science. And then the last thing was the fruit is your art, because if you have your philosophy and you're studying your science, how you apply your art should be based on scientific outcomes and assessments that are in line with our chiropractic philosophy. Yeah. So there's really kind of a beautiful analogy and reinterpretation of the stool. And I just thought I'd share there real quick.
That's great. I love that analogy.
Yeah.
You know, there was a wonderful chiropractor, RJ Kelly. He used to practice in Texas. He passed, way too early, but RJ was doing upper cervical work. And I don't know what technique.
I recognize the name for sure.
Yeah. RJ sent every one of his patients for an upper cervical MRI. There wasn't comb beam wasn't around back then. And I guarantee you he'd have a comb beam in his office right now if he was there. But he sent every one of his patients for an MRI, and he was able to look at the atlas through the MRI and get his listing. And he trusted that more than an X-ray, because he felt like he could be able to see it. And it was, and everything else, the articular, you know, the articulations around it. It's pretty incredible. I love what you said, I just want to share one thing, and I hope I'm not getting too far off on this, but I had the opportunity or the privilege when I graduated and I left Life College back in 1981. I drove up to Michigan to see my folks from Atlanta, and I stopped on the way to meet a chiropractor. I was asked by his son, who was a chiropractor, to go up and meet him, and it was Herbert Ross Reaver.
Oh, man.
And his son, Chappie Reaver, was a good friend of mine. He befriended me. He graduated in 56. We used to have lunch almost every Tuesday, and, you know, gave him my first original green book, Evolution or Revolution, you know, at graduation. And he said, Ron, would you do me a favor? Would you please stop and see my dad and mom, you know, Dr. Herbert Ross Reaver and Millie Reaver? And so I was going through Cincinnati. It's right on the way up. I stopped. I met with them. I waited in his reception room about 45 minutes to an hour before it was done. And then we're going to go for lunch, and I was going to take off. I'm going for dinner, and I was going to take off. And people just walking in, da, da, da. And he came out to greet me. I said, do you mind if I you know, can I watch, you know? He had no receptionist, just come in, you know, people sitting around, they all knew what they were doing, who was next. And he said, no. And it was, and I really respect it. He said, you know, the adjustment is a very sacred, you know, sacred event, you know?
Wow.
And I went, wow. Whoa. Cause you know, I was just, you know, and I think it ties into what you said. I mean, I don't think we have to get like that, but I think it ties into what you said. Like, how do you hold, how sacred do you hold this chiropractic adjustment?
And that's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's huge.
I appreciate you sharing that.
That's awesome. It's huge. Talk to us, Dr. Mary talked about this, and thank you for bringing it up. I just want to kind of dovetail into this work-life balance, because when she mentioned about your three kids and, you know, that kind of stuff, and, you know, I think there's a lot of success principles to be able to come out of the work-life balance, right? You know, you've been married for 18 years or 17 years, you know, three daughters, your wife, I believe, runs the whole front part of the practice, and you... Mm-hmm. handle the backside of the practice.
That's right.
Talk to us about this work-life balance. Like, how do you create that and how that relates to your success?
I appreciate that. And I think it is. It's valuable for those of us that are in family life and or just have a, because family life is not, personal life is personal life too. Family life just puts it under a little more pressure because there's other people depending on it, you know? But it goes back to Palmer, and there was this sentiment, and you might have it at Life West, I don't know. There's a sentiment that while you're at chiropractic college, you're either going to get married, you're going to get divorced, you're going to have a baby. And if it's really bad year, you're going to do all three. So I don't know if you heard that or there's something on Life West campus, but similar. It's kind of like, it's funny and it's also sad. You know, there's a lot of pressure when you're a student and then you graduate and there's even more pressure, which is hard to believe if you're a student right now watching or listening. It's kind of like, you don't, I mean, maybe you realize, maybe you don't, but boy, when those student living loans stop coming in and you got to decide on whether to buy, I'll never forget sitting in the parking lot of a Kohl's of all places, not even a nice place for clothing, but like I had to get a new shirt. Like my shirt was getting rattered and tattered. I looked at my bank account and it's like, I also had to buy groceries. Mm-hmm. And then I left. I didn't buy a shirt. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's heavy. And you got to, how do you do that? And now, there's so many things that we could talk about in terms of like business and money management to overcome. You shouldn't even have to have that decision. But my point is, unfortunately, due to those pressures, you see marriages affected. You see families affected. And personally, I think that's a sad thing. And personally, I cringe at practice management influencers, we'll say, to use a general current term, that their personal life's a wreck. I don't know if I want to trust them with my practice life. If you want to come in and tell me how to make a $1 million practice, but your personal life is on a roller coaster, is in shambles, it doesn't work. You know, like one of my mentors, the number one purpose of your practice is to fund your lifestyle. If you love chiropractic and you want to save the world and that's your bottom line, then you can come work for me. I'll have you live in my basement. I'll feed you ramen noodles, but you don't need a salary. You know what I mean? Like if that's all you're doing, is serving the masses, well, that's great, then come volunteer in my practice, right? I would love to buy you three meals a day, et cetera, et cetera. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you've got to have balance in life.
Yeah.
So that was always kind of, now I can't say, believe it or not, like, not believe it or not, I should check myself. It wasn't always this clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sitting here saying all these things like some self-righteous guy. It's like, come on, like, we struggled, we went through it all. I'm just sharing it because you have to have a very, very clear vision on what you want to set up for yourself, right? And your family. And then you have to create a practice that can sustain that.
Yeah.
And for us, that came through systems and we could go into different things, but that was kind of the point. That's like the overall umbrella of why I bring it up and why I hold a lot of value to it.
Yeah. So I have a question. So in those early years, did you get married in school or after?
It's a great question. We got married right before school. We had two of our daughters while in school, and then the third month before we opened our doors.
Wow. So in the early years, and this will be good for people watching who don't have a family yet, and because they see you now and you're successful and the balance is probably pretty good now. In the early years, what did you do? What was what were the steps that you did, or what, any like words of wisdom of how you created the balance or kept the balance?
Yeah, I think when it comes to family, this may not be the proper chiropractic professional way to say it, you're never going to be ready. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to say what I believe. And this may not be a popular thing to say right now.
That's
just
okay.
Culture. Kids are hard, but the Bible talks about them being a joy and about them being, one of the most beautiful verses talks about them being like arrows in a quiver, and blessed is the man who has many arrows. And I've seen patients and I've known people that have these huge families, like 12 kids, you know, and man, I'm almost envious. You know what I mean? I'm so blessed and I'm good. And happy. But let me tell you something, man, like number one, you're never going to feel ready. You know what I'm saying? And so but of course you discuss with your spouse, you figure out when the time's right and all the rest. But so for us, looking back, it's like, it would have been a hell of a lot easier if we waited. but what do you do? You roll with it, it's called life, man. And here's what I would say to the younger generation, like, don't judge yourself. Don't just roll, man. And communicate with your significant other, this, that, and the other. But when we started having them, no, it wasn't easy. We were food stamping it, man. Like you do what you got to do, but don't judge yourself and live each day at a time, but also get your act together. Then you have to have a plan. So if it's not planned and it happens, well, that's called life. And here's what I will say. One thing, one of the best things, just if it's a form of encouragement, I think it's Life West grad. I'm not sure. Darren White, really smart gentleman, smart doctor, real business mind. And he was a brother of the Delta Sigma Chi along with me. Shout out to the Delts. But when I graduated, my world was upside down for a lot of different reasons. And what he said to me, one of the best pieces of advice I got, he said, well, you're going to disappear for a while, you know, and because again, I'm an extrovert, I'm on social media. Everyone's a social media warrior nowadays. If you're going out on your own, you're probably going to disappear for a while. You're not going to be as relevant for like the first 5 years of your practice. And that's fine. It's okay to disappear. You know what I mean? When you come back, we're all going to party and it'll be good. But when you get out, you're going to learn. And this is what he told me, because I had my own practice and it was upside down financially. He goes, you're just going to be forced to learn more in the next few years than most people. It takes them about 5 to 10 years to figure out. You're going to learn in 3. So it'll be good. You know what I mean? That's fine. But you're going to go through some crap and you're going to disappear. Yeah. And so it's sort of like, that's another thing that, like, depending on where you're at in life, that's called life. That's scaling. If it were easy, everybody would do it. So when you hit those hard times, it's like, oh, great. That means I'm hitting a barrier that I just have to get through to get to the next level. So I don't know if that answers the question, but those examples were just my experiences.
No,
so
absolutely.
Absolutely.
But Ian, what I'm hearing is this, because, you know, and I love what Darren said to you, you know, and he is a phenomenal person. I mean, unbelievable person.
Yeah.
In the state of Washington and just doing amazing things. But I love what you said, because, or what he told you was, because, you know, about disappearing, you know, I interpret that as lay your roots, focus on you, you know, focus on your practice, focus on your family, lay the foundation down. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and when that foundation is down, then you start to come out, right? And then you can start doing all the other things you want to do. But if you never, I can't tell you, I mean, I've been in practice chiropractor for 40 years, right? You know, in practice for 36 years. And, you know, Dr. Mary's at 34 years right now, going on 35. And, you know, we've seen so many people come out the chutes and just kind of do this, like just meteorically rise. And then you don't hear from them.
Yeah.
Because they crash and burn, right? You know, and they're pulled in all these different directions. I love what Darren told you. Just, it's okay to go invisible, you know? And I think with your generation, the generation now coming out of school, you know, social media makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, we want to stay present. We want to stay relevant. We want to stay connected, but we have to, like, and you're seeing it from a different angle that I think is really good and really important too, because it goes into like scheduling, which is one of the things I wanted to mention, because my kind of like secret weapon is my wife. She's very organized. She set up a lot of the systems and all that. But one of the things we did early on was we created a calendar. We created a schedule, and it goes to that concept of your big rocks versus the small rocks. I think everyone probably understands that analogy. So to your point, laying your roots is kind of like, what do I value? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And setting that up literally in your calendar, because you show me your calendar in your pocketbook and you'll show me your priorities. So it's sort of like, just plan it, just create these non-negotiable things and then work your tail off when it comes to your marketing hours. Yeah. You got a cluster book. You know, we could get into all the particulars, but the point is setting your priorities, laying those roots in for what you deem is important from the very beginning. And then from there, practice management will tell you how to execute on that. Because if you have to, quote unquote, if you decide to, if you prioritize, I have to go for a hike once a week for 2 hours. All right. Well, if you do 10 weeks or 10 hikes, that's 20 hours. Now you got a 20-hour work week.
That's right.
You better be busting your hump or charging $1 million a visit, right? Like, figure it out, man. And that's what I'll tell. And I'd say upper cervical, but it depends on the technique system. If your technique system precludes you from seeing 50 people an hour, like if you're like me, I'm like, you know, 8 to 10, you know, somewhere in there. It's not too much, it's not too little, it's kind of whatever. But if you're on the lower end of visit scale, well, your finances better be a higher price point. You know what I mean? If you can crush through 500 a week or 1,000 a week, well, then fine. You can lower it, family plans, whatever you want to do. But it's a reflection of your time, which is a reflection of your priorities. You know what I mean? So like everything kind of stacks and builds. And that was the biggest mistake I went, is we were functioning off of a practice model that was not congruent with who we were and our style of practice and all of the rest, which is why it's so important to set those things first before you start designing out your work week and everything else.
I love it. I love it.
And I love what you said too, just talking about the balance and family. And I'm sitting there listening to you, like taking me back to when our kids were little. The most important thing you said is you'll figure it out. It's like, because you can tell us the steps you did. You can tell us ABC, people can take notes. You'll figure it out. We all do.
Yeah, there was too many. And one of the things that I've been so fortunate when I was, and it was one of the benefits of working with a franchise earlier on, there's pluses and minuses to everything, just as an FYI, not endorsing one thing or another. But one of the benefits is we crushed through a lot of mentors. The franchise was trying to bring mentors in. They didn't stick around. We went through so many practice managers, but one of them, just to give a couple of shout outs, Tony Palermo, he would say, stress is knowing what's right, but doing what's wrong. So you'll figure it out, because when you're stressed, it usually will mean you're out of congruence somewhere. You know what I mean? And you have to reassess. And then just recently I had lunch with Barbara Eaton, and she had a different definition. She said, you know, your emotions are just your body telling you something's up in your educated thinking. You know what I mean? So the point is, to your point, like when stuff is off, just stop and pay attention. You know what I mean? If you're not paying the bills, it's because you're giving away crap. Stop giving away stuff. You know what I mean? Like, one of the only professions in the world that does that, you know? Or if you're stressed out, it's because I value family time, but I wasn't prioritizing it.
Yeah.
And I was stressed. And you know what it was? It was that we were bringing our kids into the practice when they were toddlers, which is fine, but they were in the back and we were up front, and there was like this tension, and they were really little, and my wife was doing a balancing act. I think that's what it was. And it was stressing me out, because like, you just be with the kids. You don't have to like try and juggle, literally juggle about answering phones and holding babies. Like, you shouldn't have to do that. Like, so I was really stressed out about that. So to your point, you will, if you're aware, then you'll know when it's off, and you just need to either go insular or ask for advice. That was another Darren, you know what I mean? You need to just call on people and figure it out.
And it sounds like you did, like you had a lot of mentors. The last 25 minutes here, you did, which you're a good student.
Yeah.
And that tells me you're a good student. You're a good listener.
That's a Charlie Ward thing. School's never out for the pro. So there you go. Another shout out to another great.
Everybody has a coach, right? And multiple coaches, and they don't have to be in our profession. They could be, you know, you could learn from people that you're right now, man. You could go on the on YouTube and have a coach on YouTube. Yep. It's just taking the time to be able to keep that balance or whatever it is that you're looking for, right? And I love what you said, because it's family, it's practice, and it's self. You know, you talked about going on the hike and doing that stuff. You know, we've come to, we could go on forever. I know we can. But we have to end, and we will bring you back, because we will go on forever at another time. We want to ask you two questions. We want you to say what innately hits you on these, and you know, just a, a 30-second, 45-second answer on that, you know? Dr. Mira, you want to ask the first one? We have two questions.
Ask the first one, okay. Yes. Speaking of being a student, if you could go back and you could stand in front of yourself as a chiropractic student and give that student Ian advice, what would be the advice you would give him?
I think I would say you're doing a great job. Keep it up. You know what I mean? I think that's really important because I'm an encourager, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But what I tell students now, and I think it is probably the best advice I can give, is to go visit as many clinics as you can while you're in school. I was already obsessed with techniques. That's assuming that you're mastering your technique because you really do need to do that. But for me, the thing that I missed was I wish I would have visited more clinics. Get out there and taste and observe, because it's really hard to know what your brand is when you haven't even practiced. Yeah. You know what I mean? Your brand is a chiropractor. You get your technique in school, and you should. You really got to own that technique. You can't figure that out after you graduate. You really got to own it. But if you're going to go out on your own, you better be looking at practices to kind of know how you want it. What's your vibe? What's your flow? How does it all work? Yeah.
That's not technique specific. I mean, it's just, you can learn a lot from business. Yeah, yeah. You can learn a lot from all these different things. And we have students at LifeWest who, you know, just their last year, they literally say, I'm going to go see, you know, 2 to 3 offices every week, go meet the doctor, take them to lunch or do whatever, and meet them afterwards, you know, and docs want to hang out. They want to be able to share the knowledge, which is great. Second question, almost similar. We're just going to change the place or the time. Who you are right now, you know, Dr. Ian Bulow, if you were able to speak to Dr. Ian in 2008, just starting their practice or just graduating, in 30 seconds, what advice would you give them?
There's another quote. It's a Jim Rohn. People will pay the price if the promise is big enough. Like, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. You set the value. You be certain. Stop giving yourself away. It's not about the money. People will pay. Set your fee, deliver that service, and you're fine. You're good.
I love it. That is powerful. That is powerful. And that ties us right back to the beginning when we talked about certainty, right? If you got certainty, you can say, hey, I'm $100 a visit, as long as you are
certain. As long as you're true.
And it's true for you. Exactly. I love it.
And without certainty, that what you just talked about, that's a lot harder to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Some people won't accept it, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, hey, listen, Dr. Mary, Dr. Ian, thank you both. I mean, this has been such a pleasure, and I know we can go on and on. It's been fun, but we got to wrap up. And I just want to thank, you know, I want to thank you, you know, Dr. Ian, for being with us today. Of course, you know, Mary, my love of my life. I want to thank you for being with us. And this is us. I mean, this is our deal that we're doing, Life by Life West. But I also want to thank our viewers. So thank you. There's a ton of stuff here that Dr. Ian dropped. And, you know, whether you're just in practice or whether you're in practice for 30 years and you're out of balance, you know, this is all about correcting the subluxations above atlas and knowing how to do that. We will have, you know, Dr. Ian's website up, your email of where people can reach out to him. I love your shirt, Revive. You know, I love that, you know, your sweater, the Revive Chiropractic. So we just thank you. And thanks for keep coming back, you know, and listening to us on our Life by Life West. Also, every other week, we drop a life leadership line. So we do them every other week. And we've got so many viewers around the world that are watching this and are watching these. Spread them with other people. Keep sharing the love and sharing chiropractic and keep checking checking yourself for those above atlas subluxations. And until we come back at you again, you know, we'll bid you adieu and we'll wish for you the greatest of health, the greatest in your practice, and just that you could be fulfilling your why and your philosophy in chiropractic. So until we come again, we'll see you later. And thanks for being with us today. And Ian, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Bye now.
Thanks, great. Ian.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.